It's a pleasure to be here. And brother, I thank you for allowing me to come. And it's my prayer that the Lord might use me to edify someone here today. I don't feel like it's the right place for me. I feel worthless. That's a good word. That's a good word too.
Yeah,
I can't even say that one.
I have to work at it.
I have to practice on that one for a while. But I don't deserve to be here. After listening to these other men that have preached here this week, the Lord has blessed me.
Me too, brother.
Because of their messages. It was a pleasure to hear them speak. The Lord used their messages to instruct me.
Amen.
I hope we all were instructed. This morning, I'm going to speak on a subject matter that, because that's the only hope that I have. I have a hope that one day, very shortly, that the resurrection, that there will be a resurrection, and each one of us is here will be present there with each other.
Amen.
Now, my main text here is going to be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. I feel like that whatever I might say is sort of like what we call in East Texas a scatter gun. That's the way it started off. It might not turn out to be that way. But a scatter gun is the shot, the load goes out and it hits a number of different targets. So if there is a target here, it's the Lord's target. It's not mine. But I'm just grateful to be here in this place. Verse 18 reads, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." This past week, a longtime friend, an acquaintance, Brother R.J. Coots, passed away. It was last Sunday morning about this time, sometime in the morning service, he stood up to preach and he was preaching and he collapsed in the pulpit. That night about 9 or 9:30 at night, they pronounced him dead. He was gone. And when his daughter called, that was the terminology that she used. He's dead. Brother Coots believes in this Bible.
Yeah.
He has preached this Bible for at least 40 years because I was there 35 years, Brother Barney. 30 to 35 years. And I learned a lot from Brother Coots. And now my pastor is Brother Jordan. And I'm learning a lot from him also. But Brother Coots always stressed that this Bible, this book here, is the absolute truth of God's Word. And that's what we've heard preached here this week.
Amen.
Nearly every single man that stood up here this week proclaimed that this was the true Word of God. They said that they proclaimed that whatever lifestyle you have, that whatever you might be doing in this life, the thing to do was to depend on this Word, on this book, on God's Word. Now, I want to tell you just a little bit about Brother Coots. Brother Coots was 82 years of age. He spent about 4 years on the missionary field in Mexico. And the greater part of that time, he was at Pine Grove Baptist Church there in Houston. This was his second heart attack that he had. I was there when the first heart attack took place. And he's always said that if he died, and we're all to die, but when he died and passed away, that he wanted to be standing in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Well, he nearly passed away at that time. But those doctors in Houston wouldn't listen to him. They made him keep the tube in his throat. And they continued to put these electric paddles on his heart to keep his heart beating. And finally, he was doing just fine. And he, after months, he was out of the church for about 6 months, I believe. And he continued to gain strength, but his tune never did change. He continued to say, brother, that they should have let him die. He looked forward to dying and going to be with the Lord. My Bible, the true Bible, brother.
The real Bible.
Paul tells us that to die is gain.
Gain. Right, read that in the book.
Now, we're all investors of some sort. Sometimes we're not careful about what we're investing in.
That's true, bro.
But the life that the Lord wants us to go, the direction that He wants us to go, is the best investment. He wants us to serve Him, to serve Him obediently, to study His Word, and believe nothing but the truth, the absolute truth. And it can be found here in this truth, true Bible, in God's holy Word. We sometimes call it the King James Version. When when his daughter called us last Sunday, she first called us during, immediately after the church service at Sovereign Grace in Magnolia. And we knew that he was in serious trouble. Later that night, his daughter called back and said that he indeed had passed away. We buried Brother Cooch Thursday afternoon, about 3 o'clock. There was a large attendance there. He had more friends than I thought he would have. And I was thankful for that.
Amen.
I thought I was going to show up and there wasn't going to be anybody there. But there was a very large attendance there. And a number of preachers there from around the countryside, different places, that come to be with the family at that time of a memorial service. Today, as I stand here, we're going to talk about a resurrection. Because you see, Brother Coos had,
yes, sir.
He had hopes of this resurrection.
Yes.
He had knowledge of this resurrection. And he knew emphatically that because God's word is true, that one day he would be coming up out of that grave. Now, as I get a little bit older, and you also, Brother Jordan, as we get older, we begin to think about these things, and we know that one day we'll be going into that grave or somewhere close by, but we have this hope of a resurrection.
Right.
This Bible talks and teaches us about a resurrection. It will happen.
Amen.
It will take place.
Amen.
There's so many today. The people of the world and even other denominations, as they go about, they have a crazy idea that when we die and we go into that grave, it's all over with. Well, my hope is that when I go into that grave, first of all, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Right. Immediately.
Immediately. And then one day shortly, he's going to return.
Yes, sir.
And I have faith in that. And this Bible tells me about that particular occasion. And we'll read these scriptures here in a few minutes. And I have hope that I'll be coming up out of that grave. And I'll say, with this body. And I don't want to, I'm not here to contend with anybody's belief or anything. But I'm here to tell you about what God's Word says.
Yeah.
And there will be a resurrection. And for those that walk around and they think it's all over when you die and you pass away and you go into that grave or something, maybe your body is consumed in a fire or something. Maybe you're cremated, and they put your ashes in this little jar, and you can take it home and put it on the mantle. It's not all over with.
Amen.
There's going to be a day when the Lord returns, and there will be a resurrection.
Amen.
We can have that good hope. We can have that. In this particular verse here, beginning with verse 13, I want to read a few words. It said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." Now I'm glad that comma is there, brother. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren,"
yeah,
comma, "concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not." There are so many tears shed at the time of somebody's funeral. I understand that. I hated to lose my good friend, Brother Coots. But I know that one day he's going to be coming up out of that grave.
Right.
And when I go to be in that grave, and when you go to be in that grave, if you belong to the Lord, and we'll get to that point in a minute. But there's going to be a resurrection. And there's no need to go about crying and weeping about it.
Yeah.
I knew a lady, she lived in Humble a number of years ago, and her father passed away. They were good Pentecostals. I guess they were good Pentecostals. I didn't follow them around. But from the time that he died until the time, until for weeks afterwards, every time the occasion was mentioned, she would begin to weep and cry. And it was such a sad loss for her. And she would stress this point. She hated to see him go. She hated to see him die and pass on, because she was going to really miss him. Let me tell you what. When I die and they put me in the grave, don't go around weeping and crying for me, because I'm coming up out of that grave. When my Lord returns, and there's no reason for sorrow.
Right. It's a joyous occasion for a saint.
It's a joyous occasion. I hope it's one for you also.
Amen.
But you can rejoice when I go into that grave. Don't waste your time shedding your tears, because I haven't given you anything in this lifetime for you to rejoice over. Except maybe a few memories. Hopefully they were good memories. But this verse here says, "Which are asleep, that you sorrow not." The next verse, 14, says, "For if we believe that Jesus died," I'm thankful that I believe that.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I know that. I hope and pray. We've heard the gospel preached here this
right.
week. I hope you believe every word that you heard preached here this
yes.
week. I hope that you're seeking out the will of the Lord in your life, as was preached. But the gospel indeed was preached here this week, and we can believe it. It was the truth right out of God's word.
Amen.
Out of the real Bible.
Amen. That's so, brother.
"For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." I like that part right there. He rose again. Because you see, my Bible teaches me that my resurrection is going to be very similar.
Right.
Just like his.
Amen.
I'm going to come up out of that grave like he come
right.
up out of that grave.
Right.
By the power of God.
By the power of God. Yes, sir.
"Even so them, but also which sleep in Jesus will..." I'm still in verse 14. I'm sorry. Let me go to 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain..." I really hope that every one of you pass on before I do. I find too much pleasure in this life, too much pleasure in this flesh.
Okay.
It shouldn't be. And I know that it shouldn't be, Brother Barney, because I do have hope of that eternal rest, and that eternal hope with the Lord, and that there's a day of resurrection coming. And you can look forward to that particular day. But some of us will still be alive for a while, unless the Lord has returned. And at that time, well, things will be a little bit different.
Yeah, things will be different.
That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. No matter what you do, how you live your life, you will not stop the resurrection that the Lord returns with. You will not stop me from coming out of that grave, because I know that God's word is true. And I hope that you have that hope. No matter what we do or what we say, we'll discount or divert or change that particular moment. It will not change the truth of God's work. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, we're not here to discuss all of the doctrine of some of these verses here. I'm just striving to prove to you there will be a resurrection.
There will be.
No matter what your eschatological view is, it will happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I like that part right there, Brother Jordan.
Amen.
We'll be there forever with Him.
With the Lord. Hallelujah.
No matter how ignorant we are, no matter how idle we are along the way, no matter how unlearned we are, we that belong to the Lord will get to spend eternity with Him.
Amen.
We might get everything just right then.
Yeah, we'll know for sure.
We'll know for sure, won't we? There won't be any doubt.
Yeah.
We might begin to get everything in order and lined out perfectly. But it still will be a day of rejoicing.
Yes, sir.
It will still be a moment when we can find great rest in. This true Bible here, this true word, in another place, gives me a thought here that there's also a warning within this resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Acts 24 and 15, if you want to turn over there. It says that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Did I read that right, Brother Barney? Unjust. A lot of folks have the idea, and they forget all about the resurrection. And even the saints of God, they say and proclaim that, well, when I die, I'm going to go be with the Lord. Well, that's fine and dandy. And that's good. And I want it to be that way. I wouldn't want it to be any other way. I want to be with Him. To die is gain, indeed. I'm going to turn over and read that verse. Make sure I didn't make any mistakes on it. The last part of it there. That there shall be a resurrection of the dead. All of those poor bodies that has gone into the grave, whether they be just or unjust, there will be a resurrection.
Amen.
As has already been proclaimed this week, one of my favorite scriptures is found in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of yourselves, not of myself. Now I'm hesitating because I want you to hear these words as they come out of God's Word. I don't want to rush past them. It is the gift of God. I'll read it again. For by the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now in verse 9, it sure changes a lot of theology.
Yeah. Really.
It doesn't change it. It sets it right.
Right.
Well, there's a number of people going around with the idea that their good life merits eternal salvation with the Lord. That's not what my Bible teaches me. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've heard people say, well, what is a work? I've got a real good definition for you, Brother Barney.
All right.
If you can do it, it's work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so.
So, well, what does that eliminate? Well, it eliminates you walking the aisle, shaking the preacher by the right hand, and telling him that you want to be saved, that you made a decision for the Lord. And then you go to the baptismal pool that night of the following week, and they baptize you, whatever it might be. That's a work.
That's not what saves you.
That's not what saves you. If you can tell somebody, I did this, you're not saved by that work. That's a work. My Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, what if I read my daily Bible reading every day?
That's good.
What if I go to church every Sunday? Those are all good things, yes. All of these things are good. In fact, we're commanded to do some of them.
Right.
All of them. All of them, brother. All of them. But they didn't give any salvation.
Right.
Provide any salvation for you. They didn't provide any righteousness before God the Father in heaven.
Right.
I need righteousness before God the Father in heaven. And the only place that I know to get that, to receive that righteousness, is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So going to church is not sufficient to save you. Now, if you're saved, if you belong to the Lord, if you're the elect of God, you'll be here.
I believe that.
Sometimes, when you're sick, you'll be here. You will read God's Word on a regular basis. As you read it, you'll say, and the Lord points it out to you, to turn to the left, you say, well, where do I turn? And you'll do it. He'll tell you to turn to the right, and you'll turn to the right. And you'll do it obediently.
Yeah.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, what does that mean, Brother Samford? God has a purpose in your life. That purpose is that he will be glorified in your life.
Right.
But Brother Jordan, he's also glorified if you are the unjust. I hate to tell you that, brother. Now, as the elect of God, I desire to be obedient to him. I desire to follow his word. I desire to study his word. But friend, I'm here to tell you, and that's the warning that I have for you here today, that the unjust will glorify him also. On judgment day, when you're cast into the lake of fire, you will glorify him throughout eternity.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be praising his name and glorifying him with him there in heaven. Wherever we are. Where is heaven? Where he is.
Wherever Jesus.
Wherever he wants me. And I'm going to be thanking him that he didn't throw me there into the lake of fire.
Amen.
I'm going to be thankful that for some unknown purpose that I don't know about now, I don't understand now, he saw fit to claim me as one of his.
Yeah. I'm glad too, brother.
I am too.
For me and you.
Yes, I'm glad for you too, brother. Thank you. Sometimes I'm asked, well, who are you? And I believe I used this illustration, brother, when I was here one time in the past. But in Galatians 2:20, my pastor is preaching from the book of Galatians right now. And I believe he ended up somewhere about Galatians 2:20 this past week. But it's always been one of my favorite passages. I find great confidence in being able to identify myself with that passage.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure that I can quote it, but right now I don't trust myself in quoting anything. But Galatians 2:20, it would be a good scripture to memorize.
Right.
It would be a good scripture to make sure that your life is patterned after the gospel here that's in that verse.
Right.
The gospel is in that verse. All of it.
Right.
Enough of it, as far as I'm concerned. I am crucified with Christ. This past week, one of the men spoke of being in the mind of Christ when Christ was on Calvary, hanging on the cross. But I'm so thankful that I was in the mind of Christ when he hung on Calvary.
Me too, brother.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
Amen.
Yea, I live better today than I've ever lived before.
Right.
I'm not living that life of that unjust person. I'm living a life that is spiritually sound in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of anything I've done, because I haven't done anything. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but it's Christ Jesus that liveth in me.
Right.
Brother, that's all I have. If you have to look at me and my... Please don't look at me. Look at Christ.
Yeah.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Barney, that's a reason that I can get in my car and drive up here to a Bible conference or to somewhere else, is because I have faith in him. Are there other deeds to take care of? Yes, there are always something to take care of.
Yeah.
All of you working men, you know there's always something somewhere to take care of. But I'm so thankful because of what he's done for me, that he's added enough faith into me that I can be here or somewhere else or hopefully doing something else that maybe he's God for us, Brother Jordan.
Amen.
Now sometimes I have other desires and I have wishes and wants, but that doesn't always coincide with what the Lord wants for me. I wished I could say that it did. Because I've got some things that in my own mind that I want to do. Some things that I want to think about. Some places I want to go. It's not what the Lord has wanted for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
That's good, brother.
Those words right there have been used several times this week. In fact, the whole verse has. I heard somebody quote it from out of the congregation. And he gave himself. That's the gospel. When he gives himself for you.
Right.
And for me.
Right.
We have no other hope.
No other hope.
We have no other place to go. If you rely on the very fact, you say, well, I can stand and preach a great sermon, Brother Barney.
Huh.
And you can. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I know I can. But the only thing that we have is the grace of God that we have by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God because that's all I have.
Yeah.
Whether I live or die, I wait for him patiently. But if I die and I go to the grave, I know that shortly.
Yeah.
Shortly. If you would turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter. Did I say 2 Peter?
Yes, sir.
What am I doing in 1 Peter?
Give it.
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 say, and tells us, knowing that shortly, I like that word shortly, it's been mentioned several times this week again, but I like to, I'm glad I'm preaching before my brother Jordan this morning, but I like to preach after 3 or 4 days have gone by and a number of other men have stood up and preached, Brother Steptoe. We were talking about that this morning. We can always take notes from them and they help us out with particular scriptures that we have forgotten all about. But we've been reminded and we've been told and we all agree that shortly the Lord will return.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of us may not have to be buried in that old ground out there.
Yeah.
Some of us might just go to be with him. I don't dare use any of those fancy words. It might confuse some of us. But I still wait for him. I'm waiting for the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for his return. I'm waiting spiritually in this flesh. He may come today. He may come next week. It may be after I die. And after I'm disposed of, ever how I'm disposed of. But I'm still going to be waiting for him to return. And it's a sure thing. And in my heart today, that I know that there will be a resurrection of my body, of me. I have faith in him. I'm going to read a portion. I just found, here's a note that I have in my Bible here. Now this is out of place, but I want to tell you about it. This is a bulletin that was passed out at Brother Cooch's funeral Thursday. And this passage over here that we just read speaks of a remembrance. In verse 15 it does. A remembrance. Our life leaves an imprint on many different folks around us. That's the reason we need to be very careful about what we say. And if there's anybody that needs to learn that more than anybody else, it's me. I need to learn that. And I have trouble sometimes with that. But we need to be careful about what we say around people. We need to be careful about what we do. We need to be careful about what they see in our lives.
Right.
That is our testimony. That may be the only thing that they have that ever points them to Christ. But Brother Coates, in his legacy that his daughter wrote, probably wrote this, it says, in his latter years, Brother Coates rediscovered the book of Ecclesiastes and recommends that all read and study this great book. It's been a long time since I read the book of Ecclesiastes, Brother Jordan. Right now we're studying the book of Galatians and 1 Corinthians. And I'm enjoying it. And I appreciate you teaching it. My brother Kish continues here and he says, in addition, he recommends the reading of a proverb a day. For a great number of years, Brother Kish... And Dorothy, I believe that you've heard him make this statement before. Read a proverb a day. If you read the book of Proverbs, if you read a chapter in the book of Proverbs every day, at the end of the month, you'll find that you've read the whole book.
Yeah.
And when you get to the end, you start over again.
One corresponding day.
That's right. Today is the 21st, 22nd?
Something
like that. I don't know what today is. But it's about the 22nd. So today we'd be reading Proverbs 22. Tomorrow, Proverbs 23. And he's preached this and proclaimed it for the last... I've been going to church. I went to church over there for over 30 years. Between 30 and 35 years, I attended church over there. Me and my wife attended church over there. And he would proclaim, and he would state and say, read a proverb a day. At 20 minutes, Brother Steptoe told me this morning, Brother Barney, he said, now that watch up there on that pulpit, he said, you can't pay it any attention because, he said, it runs faster than the actual time. So he said, when you look at it and it shows that you've preached for more than an hour, he said, that's really about 30 minutes.
No, it don't.
Thank you, Brother Steptoe. You told me.
Yeah.
I didn't stretch it too far now. Okay. All right. I'll see if I can find a stopping place. But we're talking about the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
And I wouldn't want to, that's the thing that I want to leave with every single person here. There is a day of resurrection coming in our lives. We know that this Bible is truth. And we can look forward to that day. And I'm waiting for that day. And I'm relishing, rejoicing, waiting. I have a good time just waiting. Brother Sammy used a verse yesterday, I believe, in Titus 3 and 5. And I just want to point out the three words that he used over there and pointed out to us. He says, he saved us. That goes back to this idea that the Lord himself has done all the work.
Yeah.
He saved us.
Yeah.
If we have anything at all, it's because he did the work.
He saved us.
So there's no need to boast on what you've done or what I've done. Let's boast on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And that's all that we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word and what it means to us. And we are waiting for that day.
Yeah.
That day that we can be at your feet and we can bow down before you, O Lord. Grasp your feet and worship you as you deserve to be worshiped and glorified. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with my pastor today as he stands to proclaim your word, Father. We ask you to give him liberty. We ask you to just bless him. Bless your word. We pray that the message will honor and glorify you, and we know that it will. That people will be edified. That they will be able to say it's been good to be in the house of God. Thank you for this place, dear Heavenly Father. We pray this in the precious name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.